And 16, provoking the Lord to anger. We'll see what that means. As we're singing tonight, O Lord, let us be that generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. I thought, where is that generation today? Look around the world. Is there a generation that's seeking the face of God today? And as we look at 1 Kings tonight, chapters 15 and 16, we're going to see some parallels to the world in which we're living today, and we'll see why the world is in the shape that it's in. And as I'm putting the message together this week, and we're talking about godly men to lead nations, and I really can't think of a nation that's led by a godly man, and that's including Israel. That's why we're in the shape that we're in. That's why everything is upside down. I heard today that they want to pass out free crack pipes in America. You got to be a crackpot to pass out crack pipes. You know what that's doing? That's making way for people to get into sin. And it's sad that we've reached that place. Proverbs 29:2 tells us, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Would you say there's some groaning going on right now? I know I am. I don't know about you. I've never been so fatigued in all of my life, and I think that's part of the spiritual battle we're dealing with. I'm oppressed, and it just seems as though all I want to do is groan. There's sometimes I'm driving along, I don't know why, and I just want to burst out into tears. I'm so sad. Because I grew up as a child in a nation that considered itself one nation under God. We had a lot of freedoms that the kids today know nothing about. And I'm not going to get into detail on that because we're going to get right into God's word here in a moment. But we're going to see tonight a lot of reasons why America and why the world is in the state that it's in. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you tell it like it is. This is not man's opinion, but this is the word of God. Every word of God is true. And so tonight I pray, even as we've seen on Sunday mornings, that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. Lord, we're dealing with some of the same issues that the seven churches in the revelation of Jesus Christ dealt with. Times haven't changed. And Lord, we really need ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And we also need eyes to see what the Holy Spirit is doing around us and through us. And so tonight, as we look into your word, give us wisdom and give us knowledge and give us insight. This is your word. And Lord, when I read sections like this, I think, why hasn't man learned from history? Why are we doing the same things that have been done for thousands of years that get people in trouble, that cause people to turn their back on you, Lord? And that saddens my heart. I pray for the United States of America. I pray for our president, vice president, everyone serving in every office, even the local ones. God, I pray that your light would break through the darkness, that you would open their eyes to the truth, that you would save their souls. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a drastic change we've seen in this book, 1 Kings, as well as 1 and 2 Samuel, in the nation of Israel. They have radically changed. It's been a drastic change. During the rule of King David, of whom God himself called a man after my own heart, who did what was right in the eyes of God, and who obeyed all of God's commandments all the days of his life, Israel was blessed in many different ways. Yes, David was not a perfect man. He made mistakes. We know the story of Bathsheba. But you know what? He was still a man after God's own heart. Then Solomon came into rule after David's death, David's son, to whom God gave incredible wisdom, exceedingly great understanding, the Bible says, which exceeded the wisdom of all men on the planet, who lived in peace for more than 40 years. There wasn't one war in the time of Solomon. And in tremendous prosperity, the Lord blessed him all of his days. That is, until Scripture tells us that the heart of Solomon turned away from the Lord God of Israel. Man, you would think with all that he had that he would be content, that he would be satisfied with life, that he would be overjoyed with his relationship with the Lord. But just like us, Solomon was human, and he allowed his flesh to dominate. His first mistake was taking an Egyptian woman, a heathen, as a wife. He began to go after her gods, which led to more foreign women, 700 wives, 300 concubines, and more foreign gods in his life. And Scripture tells us he was not keeping what the Lord commanded him to do. You know, God gives us commandments for our own good. You name one commandment that is not there to bless you and benefit your life and keep you from trouble. Everything God gives us in his word that he commands us to do is because he loves you and I so much. He wants to keep us from harm. And so it was then that the Lord had told Solomon, after he had backslidden, because you have done this, I will surely tear the kingdom away and give it to your servant, who was named Jeroboam. And it was not long after this that Jeroboam was walking outside of Jerusalem, and Ahijah, the Shilonite, met him along the way with a new garment. And he took this garment off, this new garment, and tore it into 12 pieces prophetically. And then he said to Jeroboam, take for yourself 10 pieces of the 12, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hands of Solomon and will give 10 of the tribes to you. And so, just as God had said when Solomon died, the 10 northern tribes were given to Jeroboam the servant to be king. And the 2 southern tribes were given to Rehoboam, who was Solomon's son, to rule as king. What's really sad? Again, just as Scripture says, a house divided cannot stand. How long do you think we have with America, a house divided? How long do you really think we're going to stand? We are majorly a house divided. They call it both sides of the aisle. There should not be an aisle. If we were all on one page, literally, there wouldn't be an aisle. We are to be one nation under God. Otherwise, folks, we're going to be one nation under. History proves that. Why do we think it's going to be any different? In chapter 14, verse 30, there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all of their days. How sad. You see what happens when leaders turn their back on God? There's skirmishes. There's wars, conflicts. And so here in chapters 15 and 16 tonight, with the deaths of Jeroboam and Rehoboam, back in chapter 14, we saw that last week, the battle still rages on. Isn't that sad? And guess who's carrying it on? Their sons. Rehoboam and Jeroboam's son are going to carry on these wars with this house divided. And the reason being, number one, disloyalty to God. Both kings were disloyal to God. They had turned their back on God. Secondly, they were practicing blatant sin. Thirdly, they were doing that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. God sees everything. God sees all evil. And they were doing what is evil in the sight of the Lord. So, look at America today. Are we not disobeying God? Are we not approving of blatant sin? Are we not doing that which is evil in the sight of the Lord? We're batting 1,000, folks. That's my concern. It breaks my heart. That's why I proclaim the truth. Some of it hurts. Some of it stings a little bit, but we need to hear it. Remember as a kid, when I used to get a scratch or a cut, my mom would get this little bottle out with this little thing. It was called mercurochrome or methylate. And she would put it on that cut, and it would sting like crazy. But that's the best thing that could happen to get rid of the infections and to heal that wound. And sometimes we really have to hear things that sting, folks, to check us up so that we can keep ourselves from being destroyed. And as I look at this story, we'll begin in about 30 seconds. These two kings, Rehoboam and Jeroboam, made disciples of their own sons. Do you know that we're making disciples in our own families? Yeah, our children are watching us, listening to us. They pick up the same slang words that we do. They say, they talk the same, act the same, walk the same. It's just amazing how we make disciples of our own children. I think that's part of the problem of America today. Ungodly members leading families. And so they made disciples of their own sons, and that was not a good thing. But you know what? We're going to see a change as well tonight of what happens when a godly ruler comes into office. Out of the 40 kings that we see in 1 and 2 Kings, only 4 were good kings. We're going to see one of them tonight. And what happens when a godly man rules? So let's look at the first 8 verses here this evening, chapter 15. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abiyam became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maachah, the granddaughter of Abishalom, and he walked in all the sins of his father. Like father, like son, they say today. Like I said, we make disciples of our kids. Man, I had to break a lot of habits when I got saved. I had a lot of my dad's traits. I love my dad with all my heart. But when I was raised in an ungodly, unchristian home, I thought that's the way the world was. Until I began to read the scriptures, until I began to lead a spirit-filled life, then I thought, oh man, some of these things got to go. My dad had made a disciple, and I was just like him. I was a chip off the old block is another saying we find today. And so notice as we continue on, he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. His heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by setting up his son after him and by establishing Jerusalem. Because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. We know that story. And there was war between Rehoboam, who was Solomon's son, and Jeroboam, who was Solomon's servant, all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abiyam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Abiyam now and Jeroboam. And so Abiyam rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. And so here we see Abiyam, the son of Jeroboam, takes over after his father's death. In those days, the king's son would take the place when the king would pass away. How sad, though, as it's commonly said, like father, like son, and as we see there in verse 3, he was doing the same things that his dad did. He walked in all the sins, verse 3, of his father, which he had done before him. His heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. You know, many times you've heard me talk about walking the scriptures out. Look at this guy. He's walking the sins out. that he had seen in his father's life. He walked in all the sins of his father. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord, his father's God. He's not talking about his God, because God was not his and he was not God's. That's the all-important thing. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto you and I, that we should be called the children of God. Ponder that sometime. When you lay your head on the pillow tonight, just think about what it really means, what it truly, truly means for you and I to be children of God. We are children of God. We're God's kids. Man, that's an incredible blessing. We can't even comprehend what that means at times. Had it not been for God's covenant with David in verses 4 and 5, God would have destroyed the house of Abiram, because God made a covenant with David that the Messiah would come through his seed, Lion of the tribe of Judah, through the root of Jesse, through the throne of David. And when God makes a promise, he keeps his promise. And here we see, had it not been for that covenant with David, he would have completely destroyed the house of Abiram. And so as we see here, the war continues on to the next generation. And guess what? It's not Israel against other pagan nations. It's the northern kingdom against the southern kingdom. How sad. People fighting amongst themselves. Sometimes I wonder if we're not on the verge of a civil war here in America. Americans fighting against Americans. It's getting to that point. It's getting crazy. So it wouldn't surprise me, because history has proven when a nation turns its back on God, there's internal turmoil. There's war. And it usually starts verbally. And then the anger starts, and the hatred and the bitterness and all those things begin to fester. What is this? This, my friend, is the result of godlessness and blatant sin. That's the bottom line. As man cannot govern himself. Back to verses 6 to 8. Man cannot govern himself. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. And now the rest of the acts of Abiam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Abiam and Jeroboam now. And so Abiam rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, Jerusalem. And then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. Wow. Notice, we not only are going to have a new king, but guess what? He's going to be a good king for a change. This was a breath of fresh air this week, over the past few weeks, man. We're going through 1 Kings, and it's like, man, one bad king after another, after another, after another. But now, we're not only going to have a new king by the name of Asa, but we're going to have a good king, a godly king. And as we will see, Asa was one of the very few good kings in Israel. Very few, like I said, only 4 out of 40. Watch what he does, verse 9. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, the king of Israel, Asa became king over Israel. And he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. Look at that, 41 years. Why? Because he was godly, and we'll see why. We'll see what he did to allow him to reign for 41 years. Guess what? Tonight in our 2 chapters, we're going to see an ungodly king that ruled only 7 days. God took him out. 7 days. Imagine that. Probably didn't even draw his first paycheck. Man. And he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. His grandmother's name was Maachah, the granddaughter of Abishalom. Asa, look at this, did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father David. And he banished the perverted persons from the land, and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. Also, check this out. You ever heard the term dirty old man? I've never heard the term dirty old woman till I read chapter 15 of 1 Kings. We have a dirty old woman here. Check it out. He removed Maachah, his grandmother, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah, the fertility goddess. And Asa cut down her obscene image, we won't go into deep details on that, and burned it by the brook Kidron. He 86 grandma. because she was ungodly, because she was perverted, a dirty old woman. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was loyal to the Lord all his days. He also brought into the house of the Lord the things which his father had dedicated and the things which he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. So now we have a new king. Asa comes in and he cleans house. He had to. That happens today, not only individually, but corporately. When we got saved, I shared this last Sunday, we cleaned house at our house, right through every room, and got rid of all the stuff that we knew through the power of the Holy Spirit that was ungodly in our home. And a peace came over that place like never before. And I was a full-blown alcoholic, and I emptied all the cupboards, and I didn't give the bottles of booze away to my friends. I emptied every single one of them down the sink because I didn't want to stumble anybody else. We're in the revelation of Jesus Christ with the seven churches, and guess what? The Lord is showing us, the churches in America and throughout the world, it's time to clean house. He tells them some of the good things they're doing, but then he hits them with this word, nevertheless. And he lays out the things that need to change in the church then and in the church today. We're going to talk more about that Sunday. Today, I believe, in the churches in the United States of America, there are many of them that need to clean house big time. They've defiled God's house. And so here we see, immediately, Asa cleans house. He banished, he removed the perverts, it says. The original language, they were the Sodomites and the prostitutes in the land. And he removed also all of their idols. They were actually worshiping in the house of the Lord, Sodomites, prostitutes, and all of these idols that they had brought into the house of the Lord. Asa cleaned them out, and then as we see in the last verse that we read, he moved the things of the Lord back in. All the things which his father had dedicated, the things which he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. Church today needs to clean house big time. There's things going on in churches today that got to go. The Bible tells us that God's church is to be a place where we pray, read the Word of God, have fellowship together, and where we pray for one another. And we need God's word proclaimed, every bit of it, from Genesis 1:1 all the way to the end of the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need all of God's word. And one of the best ways to clean house is to begin individually with us, because the house will never be cleaned corporately until we clean up our lives individually in America today. And guess what? We still have some of the things that are mentioned here in churches today. I've seen it over the years. And I'm not going to name churches or denominations. But how sad it is that God's church in many places is defiled today. Sad. He removed the Sodomites and the prostitutes from the land. He also removed his obscene granny from being queen mother. And he cut down her obscene image. The original language, you can find that out for yourself. And he burned it. That was a good idea. There's a new king in town, in the southern kingdom as well. And we're going to see here in a moment, his name is Baasha. And again, even with Asa's changes, Baasha is going to stir it up and keep the war going between the northern and southern kingdom. Look at verse 16. Now there was a war between Asa, how sad, and Baasha, the king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. He was blocking the entrance to Asa's kingdom. Then Asa took all the silver and gold that was left in the treasuries of the house of the Lord, and the treasuries of the king's house, and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tabrimon, the son of Hezion, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, "Let there be a treaty between you and me, and there was between my father and your father. See, I've sent you a present of silver and gold. Come and break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. He attacked Ijon, Dan, Abel-Beth-Machah, and all the Kinneroth with all the land of Naphtali. Now it happened when Baasha heard it that he stopped building Ramah and remained in Tirzah. Then King Asa made a proclamation throughout all Judah. None was exempted, and they took away the stones and timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building, and with them King Asa built Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. And the rest of all the acts of Asa, all his might, all that he did, and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? But in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. So Asa rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. Then Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place. So Baasha now devises a plan. Again, we got this battle going on that's been going on since Jeroboam and Rehoboam, continuing on. You would think by now, with Asa being a man of God and cleaning up his kingdom, that things would have changed. But Baasha devises this plan against Asa, and he begins to build a fortress here near Jerusalem because he wants to take it over. But for some reason, instead of turning to the Lord, and I, you know, commentators and also history does not tell us why, but Asa seeks the assistance of a heathen king instead of the Lord. He seeks Ben-Hadad, and he gives him silver and gold. He pays him to attack Baasha from the north, and Asa took the treasuries from the temple to pay a heathen king to fight his battle. And you would think that he would have known by now with all of the incredible things that God had done in his rule over 41 years. This may be the reason, though, as we see in verses 23 and 24, that Asa was stricken with a foot disease. Yeah, look what it says. It says in verse 23, the rest of all the acts of Asa, all his might, all that he did, and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? But in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. You know me and my sick sense of humor. I was thinking because he didn't seek the Lord, he was defeated. The same holds true for you and I. When we don't seek the Lord, we're looking for defeat. And it hinders our walk, walking with the Lord. I don't know why we would ever consider seeking anybody else but the Lord in the difficulties which we face in life. Look what God has given to you and to me. He's given us his word. As I shared in a Face in the Book Devo that I do, that scripture tells us that the precious thoughts towards you from God, if they could be numbered, they would be numbered more than the sand. That's the sand here in the desert. That's the sand in the sand traps and all the golf courses. That's the sand everywhere, all over the whole planet. Every single grain of sand represents a precious thought towards you and me from God. Isn't that amazing? All of those thoughts, innumerable. That's the way he thinks about you and me. I'm such a knucklehead, I got to buy a Valentine's card for this coming week to get some precious thoughts. Oh, I can think of a couple, but for some reason, you know, Dayspring and other card companies come up with some that just bless my heart, and I use that to bless the heart of my beloved. And by the way, a little footnote, you guys. If you forget to buy a Valentine's card or for some flowers or some chocolates for your wife, I do counseling. You can make an appointment with Sue and come in for your marriage counseling. Just kidding. But you know what? It's a wonderful day. It's not a pagan holiday. But it's a wonderful day to show our love to our wives, to our spouses. And as I always say, every day that ends in Y should be a day that husbands and wives should show their love for one another. Back to the text. And so here we see, he gets diseased in his feet. What a sad, sad testimony that he ends with. We were talking in the office today. We usually pray in the morning. I was talking today about one of my biggest fears being not finishing well. I want to finish well. How sad it is, I see a lot of believers today crash and burn right at the end, just before God takes them home. And it's like, man, hold on. Stay in fellowship. Stay in the Word of God. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Confess your sins to Him. Stay filled with the Holy Spirit, because we're getting close to the finish line. We need to finish well. The Apostle Paul, in one of his epistles, says, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished well. And I pray, not only for me, but for you as well, that you would finish well. Go out in a blaze of glory. Meanwhile, in the northern kingdom, verse 25. Now Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, became king over Israel. That's the northern kingdom. In the second year of Asa, king of Judah. And he reigned over Israel for 2 years. And he, here we go again, did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in his sin by which he made Israel sin. Then Baasha, the son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar, conspired against him. And Baasha killed him at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. While Nadab and all Israel laid siege to Gibbethon, Baasha killed him in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. And it was so, when he became king, that he killed all the house of Jeroboam. He was Solomon's servant. He did not leave to Jeroboam anyone that breathed until he had destroyed him, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by his servant Ahijah, the Shilonite. Because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he had sinned and by which he had made Israel sin, because of his provocation, with which he had provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. Now the rest of the acts of Nadab and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel? And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. How sad. And again, over and over. And you would think throughout history that we would learn from history what happens when people fall prey to sin and turning their back on God, especially in a leadership position. And it's so sad here that we haven't learned that lesson. Oftentimes we hear people say, it'll be different for me. I hear that so often, really. Sometimes I have to confront people in love. Ah, it'll be different for me. I got this, Pastor Joe. Don't worry about it. I got it. That blows me away. It really does. Baasha conspired against him. And just as God had prophesied through Ahijah, all of Jeroboam's remaining household would be killed. You remember the prophecy back in chapter 14. God said all of his household would be wiped out because he had turned his back on the Lord and he had caused Israel to sin, and God's prophecy was fulfilled. And again, one would think that we would learn from our mistakes. Why do we think it will be different for us? And so Baasha is king. And not only the war continues between Israel and Judah, but also the idolatrous worship. Man. But you know what? Idolatrous worship still continues in America today. Whatever that number one thing is in your life, if it's anything other than Jesus Christ, it's an idol. Whatever sits on the throne of your heart, money, fame, fortune, pride, all of these things have got to go. And it's so important that we allow Jesus Christ to rule and reign in our hearts. And how sad it is that, man, we haven't learned from history. And look at the world today. There's wars all over the place. And as I mentioned Sunday again, prophecy says that Magog from the north, the Soviet Union, and China, and those nations surrounding Israel are going to attack Israel. And guess what? Right now, the Soviet Union, China, and Iran are doing war games together out on the ocean. Coincidence? I don't think so. They are on the verge of fulfilling prophecy very, very soon. Everything is lined up. Israel is talking about building a third temple. Every time I've gone to Israel, we go to a place called the Temple Institute. It's in Jerusalem. It's owned by the Jews. And inside the Temple Institute are all of the artifacts that are going to be in the third temple that Israel is getting ready to rebuild. I have seen the menorah. I have seen the showbread tables. I've seen all of the things, the robes for the priests. And they actually have the priests now that are going to be the priests in the third temple. And guess what? They're not youngsters. So how close are we? Close. And that's why we need to, number one, get our lives in order. And number two, pray for your nation. Pray for the leaders of our nation. Our prayer today in the office, we pray every day for our president, vice president, that God would pierce the darkness and get their attention and bring them to their knees and break their stony hearts and that they would repent of their sin. Man. And so we see here, what happens when leaders, godly leaders, turn their back on God? Sad. And here we see again, Nadab is following Papa. And Baasha conspired against him. And just as God had prophesied through Ahijah, all of Jeroboam's remaining household would be killed, and they were. And so now we begin chapter 16. Notice. Did I finish that chapter? No, verse 33, I'm sorry. In the third year of Asa, the king of Judah, Baasha, the king of Ahijah, became king over all Israel and Tirzah and reigned 24 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of Jeroboam and in his sin by which he had made Israel sin. Verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu. He was the prophet, the son of Hanani, against Baasha. Saying, inasmuch as I lifted you out of the dust and made you ruler over my people Israel, and you have walked in the way of Jeroboam, his dad, and have made my people Israel sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins, surely I will take away the posterity of Baasha and the posterity of his house, and I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Wow. And you know what? God says what he means and means what he says. And he is going to do the same thing to Baasha as he did to the house of Jeroboam. He's going to wipe out his family tree. And this is the gross part. Check this out, verse 4. The dogs shall eat whoever belongs to Baasha and dies in the city. And the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the fields. That's pretty heavy stuff. And guess what? It came to pass. Yeah. As the carcasses and the corpses will lay out in the street, and the dogs will come and shred them to pieces and eat them. And also the birds, scavengers, you've seen those, crows and all those others. The birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the fields. Now the rest of the acts of Baasha, what he did, and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Baasha rested with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah. Then Elah, his son, reigned in his place. And also the word of the Lord came by the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha and his house because of all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord in provoking him, the Lord, to anger with the work of his hands, and being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he killed them. How many times have we seen over the past few weeks where it says that the Lord saw all the evil that was done in his sight? If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, God still sees all the evil that's done in his sight. We're kind of in our Christian bubbles at times. Most of my fellowship is with Christian people. Yeah, I have contact with the world out there, but we're in this little Christian bubble, and we're kind of hidden from a lot of the things, the evil that's going on in the world out there. But guess what? Because America's getting darker, a lot of this evil is becoming more and more exposed like I've never seen before. It's incredible what we see going on. I'm not going to lay out a list, but a lot of these evil things that are done in the sight of the Lord, God says, are sin, and the wages of those sins is death and separation for eternity from God. And guess what? A lot of these things we have legalized and we approve of here in the United States of America. As I mentioned Sunday, read the last section of Romans chapter 1. Where it says, those who approve of these things are just as guilty as those who practice these things. So to be neutral, you're as just guilty as those people that are doing it. We need to get on one side or the other, either light or darkness, period. And how sad it is, there are a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm just going to mind my own business and let them live their lives, and God made them that way, or whatever it might be. We need to pray for this nation like never before. Verse 8. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, Elah, the son of Baasha, became king over Israel, northern kingdom, and reigned 2 years in Tirzah. And now his servant Zimri, commander of half of his chariots, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah. Drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. And Zimri went in and struck him, Elah, and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. Knocked him off, went in and took his office. Then it came to pass when he began to reign, as soon as he was seated on his throne, that he killed all the household of Baasha. He did not leave one male, neither of his relatives nor of his friends. Just as God had prophesied, he told them that was going to happen to the house of Baasha back in chapter 16, verses 3 and 4. And thus Zimri destroyed all the household of Baasha according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. Again, we need to be reminded that every single thing that God says will come to pass. God has never made a mistake. God has never said, oops. I remind myself of that every morning when I look in the mirror. God's never said, oops, and God will bring forth and fulfill every single prophecy that we have in this incredible book called the Bible. But yet people still don't believe. They still don't believe the truth of God's word. How sad. For all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, by which they had sinned and by which they had made Israel sin, in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. All sin, all idolatry provokes God to anger. I can't even imagine what that's like. The anger of the Lord for those that cause others to stumble, for those who cause Israel to sin, for those today who cause people to sin, who stumble them. God is provoked to anger. God's also provoked to anger with idols. And again, that's whatever it is on the person's heart that is not God himself. And God has every right to be angry. Why? Because in the first chapter of the Bible tells us that God created us in his image. He created us male and female. And God is God, and he calls the shots. And God is provoked to anger when anyone causes his children to stumble. And look at the stumbling blocks that we find all over America today. Again, you know, you turn on the television set, you can get stumbled in about 5 minutes. And I'm not going to lay out some of the commercials that I've seen and stuff. Pitiful, perverted, twisted. And we call this entertainment today. Remember as a kid, we thought it was a scary movie when the wolf man would change into a wolf. We'd go and hide behind the couch. And today that's nothing compared to the stuff we see even on commercials. Some of these commercials look like they're right out of the pit of hell. Entertainment. And then they rate them. Who in the world is doing the ratings of these things? And you know what? You go and stand outside the theater where they have a PG-13 movie, and nobody's stopping these young kids from going in. They don't care. Just give me your money. And our kids are going in, and they're being perverted by the things that they see, the things that they hear, and the things that go into their tender little hearts. And guess what? These things provoke God to anger. And they even provoke me to anger because I love kids. I love my kids, grandkids. And I think it's so important that we guard their hearts and mind, and we train up our children in the ways of the Lord so that when they get older, they will not depart from it. And you know what? Again, you're making disciples out of your kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids, and they're going to do what they see you do. And you know what my grandkids and kids see when they come into our house? And this is not to put on a show. They see Tina and I on our knees praying together. They see Tina and I reading our Bibles. They see Tina and I putting God first in every single thing that we do, including praying for them. We need to set an example. It's not just a religious thing. This is a way of life. Our relationship with Jesus Christ, we are one with him. And so that everything that we say and everything that we do is based upon our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And God gives us everything we need, all that pertains to life and godliness in this incredible book called the Bible. Wow. Where are we now? Verse 15. In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri had reigned in Tirzah 7 days, and the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. And now the people who were encamped heard it, said, Zimri has conspired and also has killed the king. So all Israel made Omri, the commander of the army, king over Israel that day in the camp. Then Omri and all Israel with him went up from Gibbethon, and they besieged Tirzah. And it happened when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went out into the citadel of the king's house. Look at this. And burned the king's house down upon himself with fire and died. He committed suicide. Because of the sins which he had committed in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, in walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he had committed to make Israel sin. How many times have we seen that? Walking in the way of Jeroboam. We're now in like the second and third generations. And guess what? They're still doing what they saw Jeroboam doing. Sunday, like I said, we're doing the seven churches in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Every one of those seven churches started off being godly and holy and being in the Word of God. And guess what? The second and third generation drifted away from God. Every pastor's conference that I ever attended with Pastor Chuck Smith when he was alive, he would warn us about the second and third generation turning their hearts away from God. Because look at history. Look what's happened to the Methodist Church. The Wesleys started it. They were on fire. I talked about that on Sunday as well. They were on fire. And they would just ride by horseback through the towns in New England, and thousands of people would show up, and they would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they are the ones that began the Methodist Church. And guess what? Today, the Methodist Church is one of the most liberal churches on the planet. How sad. I'm not going to get into the dirty details. But Chuck's also concerned about Calvary Chapel. We're not exempt. And by going through the seven churches in the revelation of Jesus Christ, there's a warning. Nevertheless, you may be doing all of these good things, but how come you've allowed sexual immorality and idolatry and impurity to creep into the church? And look how many churches are operating in the flesh today. There is more perspiration than inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Disco balls, black lights, light show, pastor doing the moonwalk. I don't want to walk on the moon. I want to walk on streets of gold one day. And that's what I'm looking forward to. How sad it is that the churches have become entertainment centers. There was a church in Chicago. I'm not going to name any names. But they wanted to be user-friendly. So we'll have a theater atmosphere. And we'll take the cross down because we don't want to offend anybody. And what we'll do is we'll have plays, we'll have music, and we'll entertain the people. And about 5 years later, that pastor repented of his sin because he had nothing but a bunch of carnal people in his church rather than spirit-filled, on-fire, born-again Christians. And you've heard me say many times, we're not here to entertain you. Jesus didn't say, entertain the goats. He said, feed my sheep. Behold, sheep food. We need to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly from God's word. And so Zimri's wicked reign was the shortest of all the kings. He was a guy that only lasted 7 days. When Israel got word that Zimri conspired to kill the king Elah, they made Omri the king. And when they went up to siege Tirzah, where Zimri was, he committed suicide. How sad. Tragedy. Yeah, he set the place on fire in the wrong way. He burned the king's house down upon himself with fire, and he died because of the sins which he had committed in doing evil in the sight of the Lord and walking in the way of Jeroboam in his sin, which he had committed to make Israel sin. And again, idolatry, sexual immorality, sodomy, prostitution, all of those things. And again, prostitution's legalized in America. My brother lives in Nevada. I go to visit him and there's billboards pointing you to houses of ill repute. It's like, are you kidding me? And all of the things we see here tonight, folks, the sodomy, the prostitution, all this, it's happening right in our own country. This nation where on our currency it says one nation unto God. It breaks my heart. It saddens my heart. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri and the treason he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Verse 21. Then the people of Israel were divided into two parts. Bummer. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. Isn't it sad? Again, still a house divided. And still the anger of the Lord burning against the people. But the people who followed Omri prevailed over the people who followed Tibni, the son of Ginath. So Tibni died and Omri reigned. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, Omri became king over Israel and reigned 12 years. 6 years he reigned in Tirzah. And he bought the hill of Samaria from Shemer for 2 talents of silver. Then he built on the hill and called the name of the city, which he built Samaria, after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill. Again, Omri did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Notice this. He one-upped everybody and did worse than all who were before him. And again, today, when I run into people outside of the church, outside the doors, oh man, things are getting better, aren't they? No. Things are not getting better. Things are getting darker. Things are getting worse. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying today. We need to hear what God says. And you know what? God calls evil, evil. He calls the shots. He's not looking for man's opinion. What he's looking for is man's repentance and man's obedience to his word, because for us, it's a win-win situation. You know, I have never enjoyed my life so much is the day that I was dead and buried with Jesus Christ. When I gave my life to him, the Bible says we are dead and buried with him, and he raises us in the newness of life. And it hasn't been easy, Street, for the 40 years we've been believers, but you know what? It's been incredible to watch God go with us every step of the way. And sometimes, as we were sharing this morning at a little prayer meeting, sometimes God will allow difficulties to come into your life so you can see his hand. He wants you to be aware of his presence. And sometimes we can get so caught up in the world, he's got to check us up and allow us to go through tests and trials and troubles and tribulations so that we can see his hand and so we can be strengthened in the spiritual man and in the spiritual woman. And he did worse than all who were before him. For he walked in all the ways of Jeroboam. And again, look at, what's this, third, fourth generation? They're still doing what Jeroboam did. Boy, did he make some disciples. The son of Nebat, and in his sin by which he made Israel sin. Israel is the apple of God's eye to this very day. And how sad it is that there are many people teaching that God's finished with Israel. Yeah, replacement theology. We don't need the Old Testament anymore. God's finished with Israel. There's no rapture. Folks, beware of false prophets. By reading this incredible book called the Bible, God will give you discernment to tell the difference between fur and fleece. Fur is a wolf, fleece is a sheep. My brother up in Nevada sent me a video last night, and it was right out of the pit of hell. And he says, what do you think of this? And that's exactly what I told him. That is right out of the pit of hell. That's false teaching. It's not biblical. I told him, beware of false prophets. Keep your eyes on the Lord and keep your eyes on the Word of God. Folks, there's going to be a lot of creepy stuff going on out there. There already is. Antichrist, anti-God things that are going on in the world today. And a lot of it's being done in the name of Christianity. For he walked in the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, in his sin by which he made Israel sin, provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. Now the rest of the acts of Omri, which he did, and the might that he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And again, all of these things are recorded in the Chronicles. How sad that all this junk that went on in their lives is recorded for the whole world to read. And like I said, we need to finish well. Fight the good fight, keep the faith, and finish well. So that if you and I were chronicled in the Chronicles, that they would see that we finished on fire for Jesus Christ. That we finished in a blaze of fire. Because we're getting close. And one of the signs, Paul said, of the end times would be that there would be a great falling away. And guess what? The falling away is not the world. They're already falling away. The falling away is going to come from the midst of the church. And again, that bothers me. That breaks my heart. So Omri rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. Then Ahab, his son, reigned in his place. Here we go. Ahab and Jezebel, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab the son of Omri became king over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord. There it is again. More than all that were before him. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Every king. Check this out. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. I was joking with somebody the other day about Super Sunday. There are a lot of people who are going to worship football. I used to worship baseball, and so did Richard. It's idolatry. How anybody in their right mind could spend $60,000 for a seat to watch football? Well, I'm going to get some fan mail on that one. If you're worshiping it, it's football. But I'm going to be watching the game. We're going to have people over. We're going to eat pizza and stuff our face and stuff. But we're going to do it for fellowship. You know, because the next day, who's going to remember who won, who lost? No big thing. And here we see he married Jezebel. And look what Jezebel did. She amped it up in his life. She served a pagan god, Baal, in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Whoa. And I don't have time to lay out the dirty details of this pagan god, but it was every filthy thing that you can think of. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. You imagine that? That puts fear in my heart. I don't ever want to provoke God to anger. He loves me and I love him. And we as his children should do all that we can to please him. Oh, man, but yet there's another denomination out there that tells the people, God's angry at you. That's not the God I serve. My Bible is a God of love. Not compromise. No, he's a God of love, but he's also a God who gets angry at sin and when some people cause other people to sin. And this guy, Ahab, did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. That's some heavy-duty stuff. In his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Segub. He set up its gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. We'll close there, continue next week. Man, oh man. But what a lesson this is. Sometimes God has to repeat himself and show us more and more examples on how things compound to get worse if we don't check it up. And I see that going on today. Things are compounding, getting worse and worse because we haven't put a stop to these things that are getting our God angry. Little comical note as we close. Who in the Bible didn't have any parents? Last verse, Joshua, the son of Nun. I'm just kidding. Anyway, tune in next week if we're still here. Get into God's Word, read ahead. And you know what this is causing me to do? Like never before. This is causing me to pray for my nation that I love, that I served in the military for, and for the leaders that are in office that are overseeing this nation. We need to pray for them like never before. You know what? I don't care who they are. I hear Christians really blasting some of these people. I'm not going to name names. But you know what? God tells us very clearly in his word, we're to love our enemies. And you know what? The more you have anger and hatred towards somebody and bitterness, the more you need to pray for them, my friend, because your heart's not right. God tells us to love our enemies. Bless those who curse you. If someone got right in your face and cursed you, what would you do? Would you bless them? Or would you blast them? Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who despitefully use you and pray for them, Jesus said. We got a lot of praying to do. We really do. Yeah, we seem to have more idle time with all this COVID stuff going on and people seem to be isolated. What a time it is to take and to pray. And to pray like never before. And again, I'll close with this. I have never seen personally God answer so many prayers in my own personal life than ever before. And I look back in my Christian life over these years and I have not been praying like I should. And it's taken dark times like this and oppressive times like this and evil times like this to really, really, really cause me to pray about everything. And as Paul says, to pray without ceasing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your precious word, Lord. And we do know that righteousness exalts a nation is sin, and sin is a reproach to any people. And when the righteous rejoice, or when the righteous rule, people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, people grumble. Lord, you've told us what you need us to do. We need to pray without ceasing. We need to intercede on their behalf. We need to keep our lives clean. And we need to recognize and realize that all evil is done in the sight of the Lord. So help us, Lord, to resist temptation, to walk in the newness of life and in the power of the Holy Spirit like never before, to be clean vessels, vessels of honor and not dishonor. And so, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here and those watching on YouTube, in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you would radically transform our lives into the image of Jesus Christ like never before, that we would walk closer to you than we ever have, that we would love your word more than physical food, Lord, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth, that you would keep us on track, that we would fight the good fight, keep the faith, and finish well. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for everybody here. Thank you for the worship. In Jesus' name.